Hello, it's Monday, March 13th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. To start the show off today, Lisa, did you see this article that an author named Marshall Masters, who I've never heard before, but he wrote that, yes, there was a controlled demolition at the World Trade Center towers, but guess who was responsible for it, according to Mr. Masters?
Mr. Masters says Iran was responsible for it, and oddly enough, Victor predicted that this is what would happen. Like, I don't even know how long ago it was that you said this. That they, once this controlled demolition information started getting more and more out into the mainstream, some putz would come out and say that it was Iran behind it all to try to justify attacking Iran.
Yeah, it was written at a site called YOWUSA.com, YOWUSA.com, and it's amazing because the author goes on to say that, yeah, this was a controlled demolition, and he lists quite a few different reasons why everything...
I have a question. If these people knew this all along, why are they waiting until now to come out with this crap?
Yeah, but all of the points are, of course, what we brought up in 9/11 on trial, and many other independent researchers have brought it up also. One of the best points they said was that, look at it, I'll quote, he says, look at it this way, the gasoline in our cars and the kerosene that's used in jet engines have one thing in common. They're both ignited inside the metal engines that burn them. If the fuel burns hot enough to melt the metal of your engine, you're not going very far. So we're told that we should believe that this jet fuel burned these enormous, or melted these enormous metal structures, these big steel girders and so forth. Yet this is what we use in our airplanes and in our automobiles.
Right.
And of course it's not ignited at that time, but
we'd all incinerate ourselves if that was the case.
Yeah. And so this author is speculating that there's one of two scenarios that could be possible. One is that C4 was planted inside the airplanes.
Well, that was original of him.
Yeah, well, and it's so preposterous to think that because there was C4, these explosives, inside the airplanes that hit the towers, that's what caused them to fall. So when we see this molten metal, seven stories below street level, that's in a lava state, weeks and weeks and weeks after 9/11, it's because a plane rigged with C4 hit 80 stories up in the air. It's preposterous. The other scenario, of course, is that the C4, he doesn't even talk about thermite.
Right, which the scholars for 9/11 Truth are studying whether thermite was used to cause the controlled demolitions of the World Trade Center towers.
Right, so he was saying that C4, which is a pretty standard explosive, was placed inside the buildings. And then he says, well, who would have the means and the access and the resources to do this? The Iranians.
Oh, okay, so it's not Osama, and it's not the 19 Arab cave dwellers. It's now Iran.
Yeah. Now, does this seem...
What do they base this upon?
I don't...
What fairy tale?
Well, I'll tell you one thing about the author. At the end of it, then, at the end of the article, he has another article called Beyond 2012, Ancient Mesoamerica and Planet X Flyby Ceremonies. So, yeah. But you see, the one thing that's important about this article is that now that it's surfaced, what if the 9/11 controlled demolition information gets out widespread to everyday Americans? Right here now is the first little rearing of its ugly head.
Right, and the perps get to use this story to their advantage to target Iran.
Yeah.
And Iran becomes the fall guy.
And think how easy this would be. President Bush or Donald Rumsfeld or one of those flunkies come out and says to the American public, they hold a press conference and say, you know what? We've just analyzed new information. And yes, the World Trade Center towers was a controlled demolition, but we have evidence now. And this would be the same kind of evidence, of course, that was pointing to WMDs in Iraq, of course, this phony baloney stuff. But yes, it was Iran. And they'll give all these bogus examples of how the Iranians got into the towers and planted it, and blah, blah, blah. And they could say, well, you know what? If you go back to the 93 World Trade Center explosion, those terrorists got in then also, and on and on and
you
on.
Know,
so
you think that money is their religion. I think lying is their religion.
Yeah. Well, I've said they've made a religion of money. That's what they've done. And it's unbelievable. We're going to post this article on our site today. So take a look at it, and you'll see that the people behind the scenes are always thinking. And even though this article leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to credibility, another thing it doesn't bring up is that George Bush's brother, he was in charge of various security details that morning. So that's mysteriously left out of the article.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, I wanted to update everyone on the Scholars for 9/11 Truth petition. We are now currently at 4,016 signatures. We are heading toward 10,000. So we're almost halfway there, and I congratulate everyone who signed it. I urge everyone who hasn't to please do so. Scholarsfor911truth.org.
Right. Now, as all of you know that tune into this show daily, we talk about not only 9/11 a lot, but the reverberations. Everything is centered around 9/11. It's like an octopus, all these different things, with the Iraqi war and the Patriot Act and on and on and on. And if you look in the Wing TV homepage, there's an article called America's Fondé Séquelle. And that's a French word that means the end of an era. And I'm proposing in this article is this the end of an era? Is this the end of America's reign as the last superpower?
I tell you what, if we keep going on this course that we're on, it might be the end of everything.
Yeah. And last night, me and Lisa were watching the news for 10 or 15 minutes, and they had a segment on about the latest round of explosions and this, they call it the borderline civil war. I'd say it's full-blown civil war. But what did you recall, Lisa, or what were your impressions of that news segment when they showed the trucks blown up and just chaos in the street and fires and so forth? I mean, did this look like stability, freedom, democracy?
No, you know what it looked like? A giant mess. It just looked like total chaos. We have nothing under control. And then Victor cited the amount in billions, of course, that has been spent thus far on this destruction and death and chaos. And it's just sickening.
Yeah, right. I think last week we quoted a figure. Was it $244 billion?
Or $254 billion.
Something like that, yeah. Something where like $250 billion right now. Bush just asked Congress for $82 billion more, I believe.
Yeah, President George, I know how to spend your money, Bush.
Yeah. And the scenes that we saw last night, where they were so appalling that there's $250 billion and this is all the better we can be doing right now. Now, let's go back a couple years, Lisa, before the Iraqi war. And I think this was in that documentary, Why We Fight, where they had an interview with Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney. And he was talking about the Iraqi people and what was going to happen when America invaded. He says, they're going to greet us as their liberators.
Oh, yeah, in between distancing himself from Halliburton.
Yeah, and, you know, he painted this picture of when America invades Iraq, they go into Baghdad, and basically the people over there are going to be lining the streets with rose petals, welcoming us. And here we are at around the three-year anniversary of this god-awful war. And did it look, Lisa, like they were hailing us as liberators?
No, I guess we're liberating them through death. That's how we're liberating them. But other than that, to look at their faces and to listen to the screaming and the things that the people were saying themselves, you'd never get the impression that they were welcoming this action against them.
Right. And the funniest part about all this is, and we ran a couple articles last week on the Wing TV homepage, is how all the conservatives now are withdrawing their support from the neocons. They're admitting what a disaster this is. What a mistake. How the neocons overestimated the threat from Al-Qaeda. How they overestimated how easy it would be to go into Iraq and then just start tumbling. All these Middle Eastern countries like dominoes.
Are they starting to get a little queasy in the stomach now? Is it getting a little too sick even for them?
I mean, think of the people that are speaking out about it, against this war now. William Buckley. Yeah, William Buckley, who's known as the father of the modern-day conservative movement, speaking out against it. Bill O'Reilly has been speaking out about it. One of these neocons, an Oriental gentleman, whose name I can't recall, he wrote a new book that said, even though he was originally in favor of this war, totally opposed to it now, said it's a drastic mistake.
But, of course, the old standby psychotics are still gung-ho for it, like William Crystal and Richard Pearl and Wolfowitz and all of them.
Yeah. Well, even though they're probably still for the war, they're becoming very critical of this administration, which means they're turning their eye elsewhere for people to do their dirty work
George for them. Isn't killing enough people and getting the job done as quick as they'd like.
Yeah. Now, you remember when Representative John Murtha came out? A very pro-military Democrat, and started making waves and saying, we need to get our troops out of there and so forth. And we started to hear murmurs from the administration that maybe they'll start pulling out within the next 6 months or so. You remember that?
Right, by the end of the year.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have a significant return home of U.S. troops. But then what were we hearing last night?
Well, on the radio this morning, now they're saying, well, you know, the pullout might only begin in the next 13 to 19 months.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how they have banned U.S. government and military employees from leaving the country on commercial airlines.
Right.
So they're stuck there.
there was a threat to some airliner to
some
blow
kind of
it
bomb
up.
Bomb threat.
Right, yeah, that's a good point, because now, as Lisa said, our personnel are stuck in Iraq. But what the radio was saying is now they're pushing it back. The withdrawal might only start in 13 to 19 months because of this civil war. And
what did we tell you?
Yeah.
They're not letting them come home.
Yeah. And why would they? Because in that documentary, Why We Fight, and we've talked about this on Wing TV before, is there's permanent military bases being set up in Iraq and in the Middle East. And I saw this map once of Iran with all the different countries around it where we have military bases, and we have the entire country of Iran
circled
by these U.S. military bases.
We can't stress it enough. They want simultaneous wars in multiple theaters around the world, and guess what? They're getting that.
Yeah. Now, when we look at this civil war, and the recent developments in the last couple weeks and the last month, we saw that not a temple, but that dome. That religious shrine blown up. And we saw another one recently blown up. We have this incident at the airport where there was a bomb threat and so forth. We see all the different sects fighting against each other. Now, Lisa, do you think there's forces at play that want to keep our troops in Iraq?
Absolutely.
Do you think there could be forces, maybe like a certain nation in the Middle East?
I would bet my bottom dollar that Israel is embroiled in it up past its eyeballs.
Yeah, because every time there's talk about pulling U.S. troops out of the Middle East, you know there's one nation over there that's swallowing their tongue because they know that's the last thing they want, and that, of course, is Israel. Now, there's another development that happened last week. Do you remember that Iranian student? And I think it was at the college campus in North Carolina. He drove his SUV into a crowded group of students. And I don't believe any of them were killed. But he was making a statement. He fled and was arrested.
Oh, he's going to be the poster boy.
Yeah, he fled, and a couple blocks away he was arrested. And he was an Iranian, and he said that he was trying to avenge the death of Muslims by American forces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though nothing terrible happened that day, there's another seed that's planted.
Right.
That they're saying Iranians could be doing these things because they want to avenge the death of Muslims.
Do you know what that's called? That's a very specific example of propaganda.
Well, and also setting the stage.
Yeah.
So even though we just have a student driving his SUV up over a sidewalk, it sets the stage for possibly a dirty bomb. So say they blow up a bomb in L.A., a small nuke, or in Chicago or St. Louis, wherever it is, and The first thing on the TV screens, of course, is Iran, Iranian national, blows up bomb in L.A., whatever. And then they say, well, there is a pattern to this, because you remember a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, we had this Iranian student.
Yeah. Have you noticed how much other propaganda is on the mainstream media also, like conducted by Al-Qaeda,
yeah,
killing children and so forth?
Well, it's like...
just reinforcement.
Yeah, if you go back to the first Iraqi war with George Bush, and you remember that story about how they were taking babies out of incubators,
mm-hmm,
and slaughtering them,
yeah,
and so forth, and it ends up that the person that was spreading these stories was actually someone on the payroll for,
yeah,
one of these secret... Who the hell was that guy from Rolling Stone magazine? I can't remember his name. Remember we did a whole show on him? And he was one of the guys that was paid to go out there and spread these disinfo...
I can't remember who,
yeah,
he was.
I can't remember his name now. But it was one of his people that was actually behind this story. And years after the Iraq war was over, it's revealed that this whole story...
is bogus.
...was bogus. So these
lying as a religion.
Yeah, exactly. And what the reason why we're bringing all these points to the table today is that anyone that's aware of what's going on in the world starts being able to see through the smokescreen,
right,
through the propaganda, and they can connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when we watch the news, because it's like seeing a puzzle that's taken apart. You have all these different pieces. But if you know the way that those in power operate, you can put all their pieces together and figure out what they're trying to do.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Bill O'Reilly, because last night Keith Olbermann,
mm-hmm,
was on TV and was telling the American public that Bill O'Reilly doesn't give you the truth.
Yeah. Boy, you know, it's glad that he revealed this to all of us. And I guess he was named, what, the worst,
nope,
person in America.
Yeah, no, the worst person in the world.
In the world.
And he was nominated 15 times. That,
yeah,
says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to O'Reilly when I come home every day, so I get to hear him for 15 or 20 minutes, whatever. And
how can you stand it?
He gets more and more off base, more extreme.
More
and
obnoxious.
And a good point, and I was going to bring this up on the show before, last week, but I forgot to, but he was talking about Iran,
uh-huh,
okay, and Syria, and these various axis of evil countries in the Middle East. And he says, now, any sane person would know that what we should do is just go over there and nuke them and wipe them off the face of the map. Now, he says, any sane person knows this. Does this sound like a statement coming from a sane person?
No, I was just going to ask you if he considers himself in a category of sane individuals. Also, many people may not realize that Syria, you know, we hear Syria's name a lot mentioned as part of the axis of evil, but many people may not know that Syria had converted over to the euro.
That's right. At
the beginning of this month, correct?
March 1st.
And look, same thing happened in Iraq.
Yep.
They switched over to the euro. We went in there. So who do you think is going to be coming next after Iran, whatever happens with Iran?
Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to yet, go into our archives and read two articles we ran last week called Middle East March Madness. And that's one of the points that's,
mm-hmm,
brought up in these articles, is how Syria switched over to the euro. Now, we know on March 20th, Iran is going to switch over to this Iranian oil bourse, and Iraq switched over to the euro years ago, in 2001, I believe. So, who are the countries targeted for destruction by the neocons? It's all these countries that have switched their currency or are about to switch their currency.
And I guess this outraged the United States, the European Union,
yeah,
the United Nations, and of course, Israel. And what's interesting is the position and stance of Russia and China, and I believe Venezuela.
Right, right.
In all of this.
Yeah, and it
and
seems
Iran.
Like Russia and China are kind of straddling the fence, where,
mm-hmm,
they want to play both ends against the middle.
Russia says they're going to fund Hamas. Is that right?
Iran actually said they were going to fund Hamas.
Oh, Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
And Hamas is actually like saying, well, you know, we like the sentiment, but somebody's going to interfere with this money at some point,
mm-hmm,
where it's being transferred from you to us. But, yeah, Russia and China are trying to play both ends against the middle, because China especially still needs America,
mm-hmm,
to buy all their products, but they've also been signing these huge oil contracts with Iran.
And so is Russia.
And Russia. So they're in the middle trying to see which way things are going to fall.
And we all know what happens to those who stand in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Get run over.
At some point, they're going to have to, you know, make a stand one way or the other. But when American forces went into Baghdad,
mm-hmm.
one of the first things they did was rip up all of Iraq's oil contracts that they had made with all these various countries and denominated in the euro. One of those countries was China. Now, China doesn't want to see a second set of contracts with Iran ripped up like the first ones. So they have a choice to make at some point. And being that they own so much of America's debt and they're so reliant upon America to buy their products, that I want to get someone on the show one of these days, Lisa, talking about China and how there's quite a bit of strife taking place over there among the rural Chinese, who comprise about 75% of the population.
Join the club.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is experiencing strife as well.
Yeah. And see, what we have in China right now is you have the coastal cities where the big economic boom is taking
mm-hmm.
place. They're making money hand over fist and enjoying wealth like they've never seen before. But inland, where there's all the rural farmers and peasants, they're not getting to lap up any of this gravy.
No, there's no trickle-down effect.
And what the government is doing and these foreign-owned companies that are coming in to set up their factories is they're spreading out into the rural areas and just taking this land, basically. They're just literally stealing the land for pennies on the dollar. And the peasants and the farmers are getting pissed beyond words because they're seeing all these other people making money and their livelihood.
I think it's time that humanity stands up against this beast that is trying to destroy the planet. Forget just trying to destroy America. It's happening all over the world.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for these Chinese peasants because they are standing up and they're blocking highways, they're having protests, and they basically said, we don't have anything else to lose.
Right.
They've taken our land, they've taken our houses, they've destroyed our way of life,
mm-hmm.
our livelihood. We can't grow our crops because they put a factory down
there. They can't survive.
Yeah. So the only thing left they can do is fight. So the Chinese government is in a pickle, so to speak.
Is it going to have to get to that point here in America?
Well,
for people to stand up and do something? Do you really want it to get that far?
Right. That's why it's so important to read that article on the Wing TV homepage, America's Fonde Sekel. Is this the end of an era? Because if it is, as I say at the end of this article, if we lose our way of life and our standard of living now,
mm-hmm.
we're never going to get it back again. And we're already seeing our way of life. You know, like, I was talking to Morgan Reynolds a few weeks ago, and
mm-hmm.
he says, if you look from the 1970s to now, our standard of living hasn't increased at all. It's been stagnant for 30-plus years now. You know?
That should say a lot to all of you out there listening.
Exactly. So, anyway, we're doing our Tuesday show on a Monday. So, we'll be back on Wednesday.
On our regular schedule.
Regular schedule again. And I guarantee you, we're going to have some big news for you. So, stay tuned. And we just want to thank everyone for coming to here, to where Wing TV is. Keep your eyes open until then, because there's a lot going on.
Take care. Sign the petition. See you tomorrow.